Moncrief on News Talk.
As you probably know, there's been a bit of a spat between Donald Trump and Pope Leo over Trump waging war on Iran. In the midst of that, the broadcaster Sean Hannity, a big Trump supporter, announced that he has now left the Catholic Church. Curiously, he made the same announcement 7 years ago. But whatever the date of his departure, leaving Catholicism is a wee bit trickier than just putting up a tweet about it. Michael Nugent from Atheist Ireland has campaigned on this issue. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon.
The rules about leaving the Catholic Church, such as they are they universal in the sense of whether you're in, you know, Sierra Leone or Sweden, it's all the same?
They're universal within the view of the Catholic Church, and they've changed. They used to have a concept under canon law called a formal act of defection. Now, a friend of mine did that back in the 1990s here in Ireland, when very few people were doing that. And what it involved was, first of all, he had to formally write to the local bishop, and then he was called in for an interview in the Archbishop's Palace in Dublin. And part of the process, he was told, was they had to decide whether he was mentally competent. And if he was mentally competent, they would let him go. But if he wasn't, they would keep him. And he had to essentially make a formal declaration of apostasy. And so he became, at the time, for a while, we called him Ireland's first official atheist, as recognised by the Catholic Church. So that used to be the situation.
Sorry to interrupt, Michael, but in that particular statement, did he get to write the statement, or is it almost like just sign this?
There are various things that you can do to be an apostate, renouncing various teachings of the church and so on. So he formally did that and wrote to them explaining that he was doing that. You have to do it publicly as well. It's a very odd sort of situation. But nobody was really doing it until after the child abuse scandals came out. A number of people started wanting to highlight the issue that they'd wanted to disassociate themselves with the church. And there was a campaign that over 12,000 people started out this declaration of defection process through a website called countmeout.ie, which was set up back in 2008. And around the same time, and in fairness, I don't think it was due to this issue, I think it was an internal canon law issue, Pope Benedict changed the canon law in 2009. And by 2011, the category of formal defection had disappeared. So the that exit route had gone. Obviously you can still leave in reality, but they'll still claim you as a member, which to a lot of people, they felt that was unjust because it doesn't reflect reality. Of course, a lot of Catholic theology doesn't reflect reality. But more importantly, because supposedly high membership figures can help them when they're doing things like lobbying for control of schools.
So it's a kind of a Hotel California situation that, you know, you can check out, but you can never leave.
It's I'll tell you what it's like. It's like you're put on an email list before you even know about the internet and there's no unsubscribe button.
Yes. Is there any GDPR issues around this in that they have, even if you don't consider yourself a Catholic, that they have you on a list saying that you are a Catholic?
They have, yeah, but they do, as usual, that they can change what words mean depending on the context. And what they argue to the Data Protection Commissioner, what the church has argued when that's been raised, is they're saying that the baptism register isn't a membership list as such. What it is just a recording that a historical event has happened.
Right.
That your baptism has happened. Now, and they're saying, and the Data Protection Commissioner actually agreed with that and said that because it's not a membership list in the ordinary sense, you don't have the right to be erased from it, but they can add a note saying that you no longer wish to be identified as a Roman Catholic. Now, in one sense, that's legally correct. I mean, Michael McDougall, back about 20 years ago, famously said that under civil law, canon law has the same legal status as the internal rules of a golf club, which in one sense is true. And that would be fine if the Catholic Church was a golf club, as opposed to an organization that has a psychological hold on people's mind from childhood. You know, when they're told that they're Catholics for life and they'll burn for eternity in hell if they leave. So in reality, it's more than recording an event that happened. It's recording an event that involves you being a member of their church for life has happened, which I think is quite different.
Yeah. That's Tomás was in contact with us to say, Both myself and my wife have been removed from the Catholic Church. We live in Sweden. And to get our kids baptized in Ireland, we needed permission from the local Catholic Church. To do this, we had to give them our Swedish identity numbers. I realized months later that in doing so, we were both having tax deducted, which was going to the church. We then contacted the church and asked them to stop doing that. A few weeks later, we got a letter to say we were removed from the Catholic Church globally. I have the documented proof. Also, if you're born in Sweden, you have to opt out of religious tax when you start working. So, yes, you can be removed from the church when tax payments to them are involved, like in Sweden.
Now, yeah, I think it's the same in Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, there's a kind of a weird overlap there in that you're talking about civil law and canon law. And even technically, even if the Catholic Church excommunicates you, they still consider you to be a member. But just a member with certain benefits of being a member of the church removed from you. So there's two different things. There's what the state recognizes, and there's what the Catholic Church maintains. And if you are a person who was brought up in a strict religious background, and you have a fear of the consequences of your soul of leaving the Catholic Church, then what the Catholic Church says is still going to have a lot of impact on you.
Yeah. Can you be excommunicated and what for?
You can be excommunicated for things like a declaration of apostasy or for refusing to obey the rules of the church. There were astonishing situations in Argentina where a girl was excommunicated for having an abortion after being raped. You know, so there's loads of bizarre reasons that they can excommunicate you. But even excommunicating does not mean that you're not a member anymore. It just means that you've lost the benefits of being a member. But they still technically say that because you are, by baptism, a member for life, that cannot be removed. And that's something, by the way, that Mary McAleese has highlighted, and she's a canon lawyer herself. She's highlighted that's effectively creating child conscripts. You know, for the Catholic Church, and that because she argues that because you're baptized before you reach the age of reason, that shouldn't have any real authority. The fact that you've made a commitment or a commitment has been made on your behalf before you reach the age of reason.
Yeah. Now, what about the scenario where you want to convert to another religion? If you become a Jew or a Muslim. Are you then a member of two churches at the one time?
No, I would say they'd excommunicate you for that. But then technically you are still a member, but you're a member, but a member in bad favour, you know. They're kind of strange things because you're not talking about reality. You're talking about what an organisation that believes that they're acting on behalf of the creator of the universe is telling you is happening to your soul. So it's not a real thing in terms of civil law, but it can be a very real thing in the minds of people who were brought up in a strict religious background.
Is Catholicism unique in this? Or is it difficult to leave, say, the Church of Ireland or any of the others?
Well, if you leave Islam, you'll get killed.
Okay, you know, that's not good.
The penalty for apostasy is death. Other religions are more moderate about it. I'm not sure what the situation in the Church of Ireland is. I mean, in reality, there's a very interesting situation, and this is over a decade ago when there was an ecumenical congress here in Ireland, and there was a survey done on the beliefs of self-declared Roman Catholics in Ireland. And 75% of them didn't believe in transubstantiation, which is one of the key differences between Catholicism and Protestantism. Half of them didn't believe in hell. 15% of them didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And my favourite is that 8% of self-declared Irish Roman Catholics didn't believe in God, which you would have thought would be quite a low hurdle for being a Catholic. So my theory on that is that most Irish Catholics are actually Protestants. They have all the theological attributes of Protestantism.
Yeah. I suppose there's such a thing as cultural Catholicism rather than strictly adhering to, the theological beliefs involved there. It's just, It's kind of tied
in. And Ireland's changed so much over the last few years. But the last census show, we were onto the census office and we go, you know the way in the census, there's a write-in option that you can write in other religion, if any. Mm. And we were asking how many people wrote in different religions. And there are 110 different religions that people have written in Ireland. So there's a huge amount of religions. In 2024, nearly a quarter of Irish marriages were conducted by either spiritualist or Celtic or pagan solemnizing bodies. So the whole environment of what once was a Catholic country, 40% of the marriages, by the way, are secular. So what we're really moved way beyond a Catholic state or even a Christian state in reality. And what we have now is we have a pluralist state, but with still Catholic laws that have to be gradually removed from the books.
Yeah. It's a very interesting kind of combination of things there. Really, the Count Me Out campaign, the people who signed up for that, were they successful?
Well, because the Catholic Church changed the rules, they dropped their website because there was no point. I think about 12,000 people had started the process, but then the Catholic Church removed the process. So that what the people who started off Count Me Out, who were three people, Cormac Flynn, Paul Dunbar and Gráinne Sullivan from based in Cork, had started it up. They passed over the database and the project to Atheist Ireland, and we maintain it now under the title notme.ie. And although the process doesn't go anywhere in terms of the Catholic Church, it's a place where you can symbolically say that you want to disassociate yourself from the church by going to notme.ie and just putting in your name, the message, a message of your reason for defecting. And it's a symbolic gesture that supports the idea that the Catholic Church should be accountable and should respect the rights of people who don't want to be associated with it.
Michael, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Michael Nugent there, chairperson of Atheist Ireland. A few comments on that. I am probably one of the few who successfully deregistered from the Catholic Church after over a year of FOIs, SAR, data access, etc. You can never fully leave, but you can defect. They will make it impossible. The devil works hard, but I work harder. Now, I wonder, was that before this rule change that was brought in? Another text says, I did it in the 90s. That was before the rule change was brought in, and had written a statement that I was out knowing I was going to have a meeting with the bishop. To my disappointment, he seemingly threw me out without the meeting. I got the certificate of resignation, though. Another text says, although they don't keep you as registered, they keep you as has been baptized once. It's a record of an event rather than a member. No pun intended, but it seems like Jesuitical as to what that means, really. And why would they keep a record of just something that happened once? And if the Catholic Church has figures as there's this many Catholics in the country, does that include people who've just been registered? Unless those people have written into the Catholic Church and said, you know, I don't want to be included in this list anymore, so you better not put me down as a Catholic. I wasn't that thrilled with it until I heard Pope Leo lately on the topic of global tyrants. They have a grotty history, but maybe Leo has potential in the current circumstances. No one could be more surprised than me to be going, go Leo, says Geraldine. Another person says, if in Germany you say you are Catholic, you're liable for church tax. I know someone who wanted to get out of it. Hell of a job. Have to go to a priest to get documentation to say that you have left. Another text says, checked out the 1926 census that they just published details of there the other day. Both my wife and my ancestors are listed as Church of Ireland. All Catholic now, probably due to when marrying a Catholic, they would have to bring up the children as Catholic. Somebody else wants to correct Michael Nugent. They say the Quran says nothing about the death penalty for leaving the faith. Whoever among you abandons their faith, Allah will replace them with others who love him and are loved by him. However, various sects within Islam, which is un-Islamic itself, have different interpretations and rules. Well, yes, indeed. that's the case for most world religions. Martin wonders, have many people even heard of transubstantiation? Never mind, don't believe in it. I probably only heard about it by listening to radio shows like this. It wasn't part of religious class all those years ago. Isn't that interesting, given that transubstantiation is one of the major differences between Catholicism and the Church of Ireland?
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.